group.
Ready? Okay. In compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice was posted on the Township Bulletin Board and website, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Before we stand for the flag salute, I just wanted to let everybody know that between this meeting and next meeting is National Boy Scout Day, and I don't know if anybody rode by and saw the pup tents on the corner. Yeah. They were having their Klondike race. Dogs, it would like it mimics the dog sled races up in Alaska, but the sleds were pulled by the Boy Scouts, and it was like 160 Boy Scouts from all over Hunterdon County, 19 teams, a bunch of team leaders that were adults, but they ended up, Lebanon Township's team, one of the advanced teams came in first, which was good. So, okay, so with that, we're going to do the flag salute, and then we're going to take a moment of silence for our first responders, our frontline workers, and our military personnel. So please rise for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, sit down. Okay, so first order of business is the presentation.
Roll call.
Oh, that's, he added the roll call. That's right. I forgot something new.
Not present.
Here.
Mayor Fuller.
Here.
Committeeman Wender.
Here.
And Committeeman Abe Apikowski.
Here.
I'm sorry, Deputy Mayor.
No, Deputy Mayor McKee. We'll get used to this new thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So with that, first order of business is the presentation of the minutes. The first are the minutes of the executive and special, the special and special executive session minutes of November 30th of 2022. Do we have, I see there's a, it says 2023 on the agenda, but it's 2022. That's okay. Any discussion? Can I get an approval of the minutes?
Make a motion to approve the minutes of November 30th, 2022, both the special meeting and special executive session.
Okay. Get a second?
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Next are the minutes of the special and special executive session of December 14th, 2022.
There's some material misstatements in the description in the executive session minutes of the proposal of the PBA that I think we need to take into executive session to correct. So I would propose we take these into executive session to discuss the PBA proposal, which is, as I said, material misstated.
Yeah, sure.
So you'd like to table the minutes of the special executive session?
And add it to the agenda for the executive session tonight. Or table it to another meeting, whatever you prefer.
I think you should table it.
Excuse me?
I think the appropriate thing would be to table the executive session minutes. And then we can have an idea of... I know they're talking about, I guess, collective bargaining negotiations, the minutes.
Right.
So my
understanding from previous years was we would discuss them in executive session and then approve them back out in a public meeting.
You could do it that way without knowing, without knowing what to be discussed. I don't know if that's typically what you do, or you can also just table it, maybe circulate what the suggested revisions would be. I don't know if that's easier, and then you can have an idea before you come back and post it.
If I had my choice, I would discuss it in executive session, because if there's a misunderstanding in the minutes, there could be a misunderstanding among the committee.
Okay.
I'd prefer to make sure the whole committee is aware of what the proposal is.
The only thing is that then it's not listed in the... Maybe we can do is for the next meeting, list it for executive session, discuss it in the next meeting for executive session, since it's not on this meeting. It might be a better way to go, and then we can go in and discuss it and come back out.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay.
And it's going to be tabled and discussed at the next executive, at the next meeting.
Yeah, February 15th.
But the special are separate, right?
for the
14th?
The 14th minutes of the special executive session.
Yeah, we haven't had an approval on that one yet, so.
Excuse me?
We haven't gotten that one. Mike started talking about executive, so we didn't get to.
Together, so the attorney wants to approve the regular.
Right.
Okay, so.
You can approve the regular one.
Right, so.
Yes, right.
Unless there's changes, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the special meeting on December 14th, 2022.
I'll second that.
Roll call?
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain?
Yes.
Yes.
And it's taking motion to table the special executive minutes until the next meeting.
Yes.
To discuss an executive session.
So moved, yes. Okay.
I'll second that then. Was that a motion?
Yes.
So I second your motion?
Roll call?
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. So next are the minutes of the regular and executive session meetings of December 21st, 2022. Any discussion? Can I get a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting and the executive session of December 21st, 2022?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting and the minutes of executive session, both on December 21st, 2022.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Next are the minutes of the reorganization meeting of January 4th, 2023. And Abe was on that pre-planned cruise that day. He missed a good time that night. Any discussion?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the reorganization meeting of January 4th, 2023.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Abstain?
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain?
Yes. Okay, and lastly, the minutes of the regular and executive session meetings of January 18th, 2023. Any discussion? Can I get a motion to approve the
minutes? I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular and executive session meetings of January 18th, 2023.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. With that, we move to open to public comment, limited to agenda items only. Can I get a motion to open the public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Seeing.
Yes.
We have. He's going to say. It's not on the agenda.
In the second public.
In the second public comment, and then the attorney might. You're going to just have to understand he may stop you from saying certain things, but yeah, the next open comment will be open comment with anything. Okay, so seeing none, can I get a motion to close public comment for agenda items only?
Make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Tonight we have a public hearing on an ordinance to exceed the municipal budget cap appropriation limit and to establish a cap bank. Now, if you recall, if you were at the January 4th meeting, we introduced this ordinance. It's ordinance number 2023-01. And this ordinance authorizes a budget to increase to 3.5% above the prior year. It doesn't create a budget at a 3.5% increase, but it gives that flexibility and it allows that if we don't budget up to the 3.5% increase, then we can take what we haven't spent and put it in a bank and to be used for the next 2 years forward. And the CFO recommends this for flexibility purposes. Now, I don't know if you want to say anything more, Mike, because you're our finance liaison.
No.
Okay.
I think you summarized it.
Okay. So can I get a motion to open the public hearing?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Seeing none, I'll make a motion to close public hearing.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. So, can I get a motion to adopt the ordinance 2023-01, calendar year 2023, ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriation limit and to establish a cap bank, unless there's any discussion on it. It's pretty straightforward.
I'll make that motion as stated by the mayor.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. And with that, we go into our resolutions. First resolution is resolution number 29-2023 for the overpayment of taxes, block 67, lot 1. Whereas there, this is a, yes, resolution 29-2023, whereas there exists an overpayment of $3,889.25 for block 67, lot 1, 37 Forge Hill Road, assessed to David White and Lauren Sullivan. Overpayment due to the residence mortgage company making a property tax payment on a tax-exempt property due to the owner being a 100% disabled veteran, and whereas this amount has been requested to be refunded by the tax collector on behalf of David White, whose mortgage company submitted the overpayment. Therefore, be it resolved that the treasurer be authorized to prepare and the mayor, treasurer, and clerk to be authorized to sign this refund check in the amount of $3,889.25 to Mr. White. Any discussion? Can I get a motion to approve Resolution 29-2023, return overpayment of taxes to Mr. David White and Lauren Sullivan?
I'll make the motion to approve Resolution 29-2023.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, second is resolution number 30-2023, cancellation of taxes, block 33, lot 5.01. And this is whereas there exist tax balances for the third and fourth quarter 2022 taxes and first and second quarter 2023 taxes to be canceled due to the granting of a 100% disabled veteran tax exemption for Block 33, Lot 5.01, 79 Mount Kip Road, assessed to Robert and Melissa Bush, and whereas the amount of $6,861.83 has been requested to be canceled by the tax collector on behalf of the township. Therefore, be it resolved that the Township Committee be authorized to cancel open taxes in the amount of $6,861.83. Any discussion? Can I get a motion to approve Resolution Number 30-2023?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 30-2023, cancellation of taxes.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the Forest Street.
Yeah, Madam Mayor.
Yeah.
Just so you know, Committeeman Schmidt had forwarded me the agreement that was sent over to Environmental Commission relative to Forest Management.
Mm-hmm.
Asked me to review it. I reviewed it. I made some revisions, not the substance of it, but gave a background, organized it so it flowed a little bit better, and then include some additional revisions that are typical for agreements with municipalities. I sent it over to the Audubon Society to review it. The woman there, Caitlin, I forget her last name, received it, was going to send it over to their CFO to review it. So I would suggest awaiting a response back from them before we adopt it. So, and I'd recommend at this point we just table this resolution to give the Audubon Society enough time to review it, see if there are any comments, and once I hear back from them, then we'll put it back on the agenda.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to table Resolution 31-2023.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next resolution is Resolution 32-2023, which is rescinding Resolution Number 20-2023 of entering into the statewide insurance fund. At the reorg meeting, we had a resolution to enter into the statewide insurance fund. We renewed our membership, but as it turns out, it was we didn't need to renew it until next year. So now we're going to rescind what we did on January 4th. Via this resolution. So it's, like I said, Resolution 32-2023, rescinding Resolution 20-2023. Any discussion?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution Number 32-2023.
It's, yes, that's the one. Okay.
I'll second.
Yeah. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next on the list is a purchase. It's Resolution 33-2023. The chief has asked to purchase 4 police body-worn cameras. And I know that, Brian, you might want to talk about this. Or
well, it'll bring it up to where everybody will have their camera now, and there'll be 2 additional cameras.
Right.
Because they do have issues with these cameras going down at times of times, so they'll have 2 backup cameras.
Can I get an approval on Resolution 33-2023 for the purchase of 4 body work cameras?
I'll make that approval motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. With that, we're going to unfinished business, which is I have 2 mayoral appointments, one to a planning board and one to an open EOSC spot, Environmental Commission. I don't know if you want to get into this or you want me to just make the appointment and you talk about it or whatever, but it's a little complicated. We've had a month to think about it, to wait to look at this cross-member position, which is a planning board EOSC cross-member. They'll sit on both boards. So I looked at it, all of the options, and I had some in the beginning. We had, I don't want to say faulty advice, but we had some incomplete advice on how we could look at this appointment. So I took the time to look through it, and then also, other candidates came forward. But what I'm going to do is I found a really good candidate, and it's important to me to bring new blood into this organization, and I think the right type of new blood is good. So I'm gonna appoint Linda Ryan. First of all, we're gonna reorder how we do this. I'm gonna appoint Linda Ryan to the Environmental and Open Space Commission for the unexpired term, which goes through 12/31/2023. That's the term that it's complicated. That's the term that Adam Duckworth, when he resigned, left open. So she'll be appointed to that, and then I'm going to have her sit as a Class 4 member that is both a member of the Planning Board and the EOSC, with the term expiring at the same time, which is 12/31/2023. Now, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about Linda and why I chose her for this position. She is a lawyer who spent many years in the pharmaceutical industry, and she's not only worked with the sciences, she's also done the data research herself, and she's done corporate regulatory compliance counsel to senior executives on statutes, regulations, has drafted key documents, and has not only provided legal guidance to the area of, in the area of the sciences, like I said, she's also analyzed it. She's a team player, has a personality to work in a collaborative manner, an independent thinker, and she's used to working in that kind of an environment. And I think that she's going to add a lot to both of those boards because they both require regulatory land acquisition, purchases or recommendations on that. So I think she's going to be really good, and I would love to see her work very closely with Sharon Petzinger, who I appointed as the head of the Environmental Commission at the last meeting, because I think they're going to make a great advisory team for the Planning Board when it comes to items that deal with the environment, such as some of the cannabis stuff that's coming up. And the fact that Linda has a background in pharmaceuticals, she works in the pharmaceutical industry, that's going to be good, especially when we have cannabis coming our way, possibly, back to the Planning Board. So with that, I don't know if, Linda, if you're in the audience, if you want to... Okay. Thank you for volunteering. So again, it's complicated because this will be a one-year appointment because of the way it's an unexpired term, and when you're a cross member, even though one of the people that resigned on the Planning Board had an expiration to 2024, it's the quicker of the two dates that is the cross member's term. So that is a year. So whoever is mayor next year, if Linda chooses to stay, and they can appoint her to both boards again, and then it would be a 3-year term, right?
Right. I think, Mayor, in discussing the alignment, I think one of the other issues that occurred was that the appointment of the Environmental Commission was a misclassification.
Right.
The individual is, I think, classified as a Class 2 member.
Right.
And the only time that that occurs is when that you have a member on the planning board who is both, when you have, I shouldn't say who is both, when you have both a zoning board member and a member of the Board of Education on your planning board, then the appointee from the Environmental Commission becomes a Class 2 member. that wasn't the case, so at some point someone had discovered that was not the case, so the that appointment should be a Class 4 person. In either instance, it's only a 3-year term for the for that particular appointment, whether it's Class 2 or Class 4. And then I think one of the things that this allows to happen is since it's the same person and the term's actually going to expire at the same time, next year, whoever the mayor is, if they decide to keep the same person, they can appoint that person to the same boards. Environmental Commission's a 3-year term, and then the, you know then if they're appointed to the planning board, that's a 3-year term too. So they lined up. That's not always the case. But at least there's that opportunity.
Well, and that the other thing, the nuance there, I don't ever want to hear about this stuff again after all of this, but it's like a jigsaw puzzle. But the Class 4 is normally a 4-year term, but if they're a cross member, it's a 3-year term,
yeah,
right?
It's only, yeah, it's a four non, the I'll call it the non-Environmental Commission member is a 3-year term, and that's by statute.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the rationale being is that members appointed to the Environmental Commission are 3-year terms.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what they tried to do, when they say they, the state legislature in their infinite wisdom, what they tried to do is since it's a it's an appointee from the on the Environmental Commission to the Planning Board, is that those terms would coincide.
Right.
It doesn't always work out that way, but I think that's the thought behind it.
Yeah, grinding the sausage on this one was something.
As long as it's hot sausage, it's my point.
Yeah. Sweet Italian. Okay. After that, we're going to have Brian, Mr. Wonder here, is going to talk about municipal office cherry trees.
Yeah, I guess really marked 6 cherry trees, mostly out front and some off to the side of the building, that are in either poor shape, some barely split, seriously split, and the others are kind of in the way of any progress in the garden area at this point. They've just overgrown. And the DPW supervisor said that they should be able to handle it in-house. I don't know if anyone even looked at the markings on the trees or not.
Maybe, but
they got tagged on them. So mm-hmm. I was looking for approval and a motion to have the DPW remove those when they can at their convenience.
Can I get a motion to remove the cherry trees?
I'll make that motion to remove the cherry trees.
I'll second it.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 I thought you were going to have to call George Washington.
That's what I was thinking, the same thing. Hey, it is February, you know, we're getting close to the 22nd or whatever it is. Okay, next on the hit parade here is the municipal office doors, and I'll turn that over to Committeeman Schmidt.
So as was coincidentally brought up last meeting, I think it was 4 years ago now, we kicked off a program to replace the meeting doors, which you notice are rusting out in the frame, and the vestibule door. For background, we first went to a state contract, so the state allows us to go to designated contractors. We got a quote, $60,000 to replace just the meeting room door, and we all looked at each other and thought that felt a little rich. So we went out and went to independently went to different vendors. So about 4 years ago, we got, and the committee all has the drawings on this, but to replace the meeting room door and to replace the vestibule door, side lights, similar color but metal door, Anderson E-Series windows. More than 3 years ago, we got a quote through Opdyke Lumber for $22,630.76. They have, with COVID shutdowns, supply chain issues, all the issues that happened, the order, and there was an acquisition of the company during that period of time of the Anderson acquired the company that makes the doors. Doors got anyway, the order never came through, but the committee approved it. The budget had the money in it. Anderson, in front of us now, Optek Lumber, has a quote for the exact same amount from 4 years ago, $22,630.76. So they've held that price for us. The money is in the budget. I'm told because the money is in the budget and it's basically a delayed transaction that it doesn't require a new vote. It's already ongoing, but I wanted to make sure the committee was aware of it, and if you'd like to take any vote on it. We don't have an exact delivery time yet, but lead times are in the order of 12 weeks or so it'll be early summer by the time we're doing so.
Did you mention it was ADA compliant? It's the same thing. Yeah, I was going to say I couldn't find it in there.
Which goes into tremendous detail. The little kick plate has to be at a special distance high, and it's fully ADA compliant. They're commercial grade doors. The push bars, everything.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So these double doors will turn into a single door.
They'll turn into a wider single door with a window on the door, which means people won't be knocking each other over when they don't see who's on the other side of the door.
Yeah, that's good.
Side lights, vestibule door, same thing. Well, that is one door, but that'll be one door with one side light instead of the two small side lights. I don't believe there's any committee action required because
you already approved it.
It's in the budget.
Just it was a matter of delay to get it right.
It's an update for everyone.
Let me ask one question I just thought about. If not that we were going to do this, but if you ever gotten to the point where you had security where it was like a thumbprint or something to get in the building, you can change the hardware on these doors, right, to do something like that?
Yeah.
If you wanted to.
The hardware would be interchangeable.
That's right.
With a manufacturer that would have something that would configure to that, you know, but I'm sure that something could be found.
Is there a warranty on this?
Like a computer or touch screen or whatever you're
saying. Is there a warranty?
It's the standard Anderson warranty. I don't know what it is off my head.
I don't know either.
Well, they're good doors. Anderson's a great company.
So C-Series, this is a good manufacturer. That's all.
Any more discussion? Oh, it's already approved, right? Okay. We're good. Okay. Next is new business. And under new business, I wanted to appoint a liaison into engineering. Just seeing all of the stuff that's going on with the floodplain management and the stormwater, I thought it would be good to have somebody really focus on with Rob Martucci and whoever the planning board picks as an engineer on the Board of Adjustment, just to have a point person so that we always know what's going on with the stormwater and floodplain management, and also that will allow Tom to work with Brian, who's buildings and grounds and DPW, and with Warren Gabriel at the DPW on all of this with the engineer. And then Tom can be the point person who could report back, or Brian can if it's something that Brian's at a meeting. I just think we're dividing and conquering. I think it's good to do it this way. So with that, I sent Karen a note to make sure the website gets updated to add that liaisonship under Tom on the website. Next up is a discussion on the website ordinance posting. Do we post just the adopted ordinances, or do we post the introduction ordinances? I mean, I'll start off. I just feel that ordinances are confusing enough, and they can change. I would rather just see the ordinance once it gets adopted get up on the website. But,
I would take the opposite view of that. The whole purpose of, and by the way, this I think this came on because I passed a question along to the clerk that I received of was the floodplain ordinance, which is a long, complex, and of great interest to the people who are in the floodplain. And in fact, published in the newspaper, I think there's a summary because this is so long. So residents asked offhandedly if it's on the website, and I was told the legal requirement is it's pinned to the bulletin board, so it is public. It's just, to me, it's then a question of do we make it more readily available? And it could be emailed out by request. So
right.
It's available. I don't see any reason not to put an introduced ordinance, which an introduced ordinance can't change materially between introduction and adoption.
Well,
so I don't think there's...
Not material. Well, you're right. You could have changes. You could have minor changes.
Very, very minor changes.
Yeah.
You can't change the substance of the ordinance.
You can't change the substance
without
Well,
you would have to renotice, reintroduce,
right.
Or adopt the amendments and then renotice for the public hearing.
And in fact, I think in the spirit of transparency to our residents, I would propose that we go a step further. It came to my attention last year when we had some new people in the building, that in many towns, the full agenda packet, resolutions that are available on Friday, are put on the website with the agenda. Now, I didn't bring it up last year because there was so much workload, moving meetings back and forth. We were short-handed for much of the year due to people being out. But I would propose that we let the residents see resolutions and the full packet of information on the Friday before a meeting when the agenda is posted. But certainly the ordinances, those are prepared in final form. I don't see why we wouldn't put them up. And I believe last year the cannabis ordinance was put on. That's why I actually I thought we were actually putting introduced ordinances on the website already. That's why I actually called or emailed to ask where is it on the new website, because I just assumed we were doing that already.
Yeah, and I'm thinking through what you're saying about the other part of it, about putting the package on the agenda. Would there ever be a time you'd have to take it down and put a new one up? And I'm just thinking about the staff time, like if there was something that we took out or something
If you could, how the ultimate policies, part of that is that if you were to post them initially, you may want to indicate, you know, whether it's draft or not yet adopted. You know, you can always watercolor that, right?
For the ordinance,
For either, whatever documents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, so that...
Things change.
So residents... Yeah. If you're going to do it, I think that would be a good idea so that someone doesn't use that and say, hey, this is what, you know, there's no confusion, right? They identify somehow without before it's adopted. Whether it's draft, whether it's pre-adoption or something like that, I think it would be, you would watermark it as such if you're going to post it before it's adopted.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's two clicks in Word to watermark on the page.
Are there any complications for Karen if you have it on a Friday? Do you have it posted by the next week prior to the meeting?
No, I typically would send it out the next day to the webmaster and post.
We're talking about. Are you talking about the package for the meeting?
Oh, okay.
Or are you talking about
the meeting to be posted?
Yeah, because is about the. I know we got into that too, but it's now we're going to talk about the ordinance. Do you want introduction ordinances? On the site versus adopted ordinances.
Same question. Is there any issues?
I would send it out probably at the same time I send yours out, and then whenever they're able to post it.
Okay.
There are some items that would not be
correct.
Available.
Right. You're going. If you do it, you're going to post the things that you're required to, ordinances, resolutions, the same thing you would put on the bulletin board, right? Yep. In the public area, agenda, resolutions, ordinances. Right? Those are the items. You know, I mean, because obviously if you start depending on what your backup is, and you have a huge package, then obviously executive session stuff you wouldn't.
And some items in draft form are not releasable to the public before.
Some of them are not. That's right. They may not be.
And see, that's what kind of scares me, too, because are we going to get phone calls from people saying, well, I have this agenda in front of me, but I don't have backup for what's on the agenda? That's I'm thinking it through as we're... Yeah.
It wouldn't be all-encompassing of what your packet would be. It wouldn't be exactly the same that would be on the website.
We could handle it is we could have a note above it that says, just note that some of this package may not be available to the public before, you know, the meeting or
or a little asterisk on an item
that
says not included in the packet.
Yeah. And I have a meeting with the ESC people on Tuesday to go over a lot of the stuff that we're still trying to work through. That would be something we could add to the list, which is good.
I don't have any issue with greater transparency. It's something that I think the public wants, and I think it's something that we said we would provide. So I agree that... that certainly the resolutions as they come up, should be posted.
So we're going to do resolutions, we're going to do ordinances, and I know it's not on the agenda, but we can also do the meeting packages, and we might as well do them all at once.
Whatever we would typically post.
Well, whatever's information. Right, whatever's...
Right.
I would say whatever that the clerk's required to... provide public access to, typically, those are the same items that you would just post on the website.
Well,
right.
I think I would like to go beyond that. I mean, for example, we don't put resolutions on the bulletin board I don't know that we ever do. They do go out with the minutes. I mean, they get put into the minutes when, so they're on the website, you know, a couple weeks after the meeting. I'm addressing posting them in the meeting. When the agenda goes to the public on a Friday afternoon and it's sent to the website, the resolutions that are already
Yeah, resolutions out, can go.
And
that's fine.
And any other information that could be releasable, but I understand some parts of the packet aren't releasable.
Right, I mean, that's enough. It may require me to, Karen may have to send it to me in advance of me to do that review,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
I would certainly suggest that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. So I'm just saying, I'll just say, I think the form of a resolution, of a motion right now wouldn't be that we post on the website legally required items. I think we would post anything that is not legally restricted.
Are you talking if people wrote letters in, correspondence?
Or drafts of a contract that are still
right.
in discussion.
Right, right. those things are
things
not.
That we wouldn't
right.
want
those things we just can't.
For instance, the agreement with the Audubon Society.
I mean, things that are still in process,
yeah.
we wouldn't, but the
no.
resolutions, I'm trying to get what we can.
Yeah, I think resolutions are fine. I think if your ordinances to be introduced, I think are also fine. You know, with like I said, the notation. Certainly, the agenda is fine.
Yeah.
There may be, and if there's the idea that a contract that's included within it with an item that's available, that same thing, right? But it would be draft, right?
Yeah.
Until it's fine. You just would have to watermark
yeah.
those items so they don't get lost out to the. Hemisphere and people say this is the agreement, right?
Well, that's what I was.
Yeah.
That's why I was afraid to. But yeah, but if we do it the right way, it can be done.
And my understanding is it's done by many towns.
Some towns do it, correct?
Most or lesser.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, and also it's a matter of manpower, right? Because
yeah.
And the ability to have it someone who you can work with a webmaster who's able to get stuff up there as well.
Well, and that's the other thing. We're still working through the level of support. Karen and I are going to probably end up being. Have permissions to update certain areas because we can't expect that we get something on a Saturday or Sunday that the ESC is going to be there to do it. So we need, you know, even when Karen Newman had this, it was like a, what was it, 48-hour turnaround, and I don't know if that was business days or over the weekends, I really don't know. So we're working through those kinks right now, but we know what you need, so we can get it done.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Would draft minutes be releasable?
Well, I wouldn't because there may be issues that the instance with the committee Schmidt brought up. Right? I mean, you know, especially executive session, you don't want to list those anyway because some of the stuff might be redacted, right? You'd have to redact before even if you produce it once they're approved, right? So you're never going to do executive session. And then I think draft minutes, you should probably wait until after the committee an opportunity to review it. I wouldn't include draft minutes.
Okay, so...
Well, we could put on next meeting's agenda, give you time to work out details.
Yeah, create a resolution for the next meeting.
You think it needs a resolution?
No, I don't think so. It's a policy call.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was
right,
thinking,
it's
yeah.
a policy decision, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can always... If it doesn't work out, we see we're having problems with it, we'll just pivot. We'll adjust accordingly. That's what we'll do. I mean, why hold it up?
So would the motion... Can I make a motion that we...
Proceed with
putting on the website when the agenda is released to the extent that resolutions are available, draft ordinances are available, and other information
that's appropriate to be disclosed to the public
release is posted on the website at the time the agenda is posted, and a second part of that is introduced ordinances post-introduction are published on the website.
That's yeah. I mean, after the
well, pre. I'm saying, well, I think there could be a separate location for introduced ordinances because
with
those would span for the 2 weeks or more, depending on if it's a planning board. It could be 30 days that people can go to say ordinances that are pending the public hearing, sort of like a virtual public bulletin board.
Oh, okay.
But that would
in the meeting packet and.
Pre-introduction, I think they should be on the meeting in the meeting packet.
And then I think if there's changes, he's getting
ready. Then once they're introduced,
I think
they should be on an identified place.
Right.
People can go to
I
see
think
what
you're right,
ordinances
yeah.
are introduced.
And then again, when they're adopted.
Well, when they're adopted, then they go into the code.
But you want them on there also, on the
Well, when,
oh, yeah, they should go.
They can go where
yeah.
they're going already. The,
yeah.
the adopted ordinance is already going on the website, so that's,
okay.
those
okay.
keep going where they're going.
Once you're, I'm sorry, once they're introduced, I mean, if you have this, the agenda items, they'll automatically be included for the next, assuming it's a two-week, right? It'll automatically be included. So you want, after they're introduced, you want to create a second link for just introduced ordinances.
Exactly. So, for example, this floodplain ordinance mm-hmm. was introduced two meetings ago.
Right.
If someone looked at the agenda, they wouldn't see. They might not know where to look for it. They'd have to go back to the January 4th agenda. I think if we had a spot for, you know, pending public hearing ordinances, people can more easily go and find the ordinance that's going to be the subject of the public hearing.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then once it's adopted, we just have to clean it up and go back and get rid of
yeah,
the introductory.
Yeah.
Because it could
yeah,
exactly. be slightly a couple words different here and
yeah.
there. You just don't know.
Yeah.
Then what happens if our clerk is out sick for a week or something like that? How does this get accomplished?
I mean, I think in an unusual event, we could put a notice that said, you know, due to unforeseen circumstances, we don't have everything that meeting.
Right, we'd have
that
to have
would
some
be the
kind
right
of
way to
some kind of something there. Yeah.
Err on the side
yeah.
of an exception.
Right.
Yeah.
Is the motion
does my motion point? Need to be edited, or is that
No, I think and the only thing would be is right. With the timing would be is obviously recognizing that there may have to be modifications on the timing,
yeah.
right? Depending on what information is available and when.
We'll endeavor to get it out with
right.
the agenda.
Correct. I think that's...
and as soon before the meeting is available.
Can't possible, right? I think that's a better way.
So essentially ordinances, resolutions.
And then information that the public could access that are don't fall into either of those or would it be able to read in advance of a meeting.
So this is going to be a policy.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. You want to write up this policy?
Well,
who's writing this policy?
I mean, we just dictated
we
it.
Just, we dictated it, but somebody's got to write it up so we put it in a policy manual.
I'm thinking we're
it'll be in the minutes.
It's on the recording.
Yeah,
it'll
be in the minutes.
So Karen's going to write it up.
That's how we normally, that's how
okay.
it kind of gets into the minutes as a policy.
It might as well be in the minutes.
Yeah. And you're just going to have to understand that this is a work in progress, even with the website. And, you know, if we don't want to get bombarded with...
disclaimer.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Calls
yeah.
everywhere. I mean, we're going to do our best to do what we can, but this is all new. Even working with the ESC is
right.
new.
Yep.
So I'm trying to get even additional resources to help us from there because we have a lot. It's a voluminous amount of stuff
mm-hmm.
going on and changes. So...
So that motion is on the table?
If I may, I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, with that, we move to item C of new business, which is the well test event of May 6th and May 8th. The kits will be dropped off on May 6th and picked up on your kit on May 6th and then dropped off on the 8th. Did you want to? Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure. I didn't know you were going to. Thank you.
Introduce Catherine Koch, member of the EOS Environmental Open Space Commission, who spearheads the well testing event.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Karen, I'll be giving you a stack of money when you post that.
Yep.
Should I re-say myself, or you?
Whatever you'd like.
Yeah. Catherine Koch and the Environmental and Open Space Commission, and every year I run the well testing for the township. People other than township residents can come if they hear about it. I'll be posting it. And how many post offices do we have now? 5, 6?
Well, we have zero, but
no, I mean,
service,
right.
I think we have like 7. It's
Well, anyway, I drive around and do that. I post signs everywhere throughout the township, the liquor stores, the grocery stores, all that. And then it will be on our website, of course. And we always do it in May, so we arrange this date because it works with Raritan Headwaters, and I'm able to do it. It's really of no cost to the township, and then the kits will be $60 and up, depending on what you want tested for the residents. And it's a discounted rate. So if you want to get your wells tested, it's good. It's a really good option. And then, like you said, the well test will be held from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. right out here in the vestibule. And then, and if it's a particularly nice day, we could even move outside. And then May 8th, I'll be here about 6:30 in the morning, but from 7 until 9:30 we have the drop-off, and then we immediately hit the ground running to get them to the lab. And it's an independent lab that does the work. And then you're notified within 2 to 3 weeks of what your results are, and the results are private. They are not published anywhere. They will publish the data, the aggregate data, so that we know what's ebbing and flowing. Like, we're not a big arsenic area, but we have found PFAS in some areas and things like that. So that's what we'll be publishing.
Yeah, there was our fire official mentioned something about not being in the vestibule. Could you have it up in this room?
Sure.
That would be the
better choice.
Yeah, he was kind of hemming and hawing, and then he said, you know, we really shouldn't have that.
We don't have a lot of people milling around. I mean, people come in, they sign in, get their kids.
I mean, it was more about the table. He didn't even want a table in that vestibule for some reason.
Yeah.
So I just said, you know, I just put a note. We talked about, well, how are people going to know? But if you direct them with a note somehow, or maybe you're outside.
We put a sign on the door. The door will be open. Usually the weather's decent.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's drizzly, it's warm enough.
Yeah.
We have the doors open, and I can put a sign outside the door there and outside. And there's also going to be a big sandwich board that will be out on the lawn.
Oh, good.
They'll do that, too. Excuse me. So it'll be well signed. Plus, it will also be in the newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Today's the deadline for the newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we didn't have a newsletter, and we had about half the turnout we normally do, because people really did rely on the newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
This way, it will be both online and in the newsletter, so people will get the word out.
Do we do the local Facebook pages, too?
I have nothing to do with Facebook.
Okay.
That's entirely up to you guys.
Yeah, because we could...
I don't touch Facebook. And I'm happier for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry I got involved in it.
Yeah.
It's actually fun.
But anyway, yeah, whatever the township wants to do, you can put it on the Facebook page. And also Raritan Headwaters will be putting it on their website and Facebook page. And they also will be promoting and sending out cards, and they put a lot of effort into it.
Okay.
Any other questions? Or?
No.
Happy?
That's good. Yeah, that's great. Next, we move on to item D is the approval of a trailer park license, Camelot at Spruce Ridge. I don't think I need to say any more than this. A renewal application for a trailer park license. Any discussion on this? It's an annual renewal, yeah.
Make a motion to approve the renewal of the application for trailer park license, Camelot at Spruce Ridge Inc.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. The next one, I think we're going to table. It's the municipal office lunch hour. We could probably work it out with the staff, but the CWA is also involved in the CWA employees, and we have them in other buildings, so we're going to have to take a step back on that and take a look at the overall picture. Not so worried about the DPW, it's more about the museum and the library, so rather than even talk about it right now, the reason it came up is because there was a time when the building was closed from 12 to 1, and everybody just went to lunch, and then somehow, I don't know how it all happened, but back in the day it got staggered. So I've always heard over the years that the employees are some are eating, I don't want to eat this early, I don't want to eat this late. Then people would come in from 12 to 1, and then if they wanted to get a dog license and Kim was out, they have to come back twice. Or if they needed Gail and then Gail was out, they have to come back twice. So we started thinking, well, maybe just, it's good, because I think they even used to get together for lunch once in a while and just talk about, you know, the workload and everything else. So it would have been a nice employee engagement type of a situation and would have been more efficient. But with the CWA contract, I think it's going to be something we have to look at with the hours that are in there and everything. So, but I want to definitely explore it. So I'm gonna continue to look into it.
Looking for a motion to table?
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to table. If it's not a resolution, do you still want a motion to table the topic? Table the topic of municipal office lunch hour.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. With that, we go to presentation of the vouchers.
Actually, not for action, but as a liaison to the EOSC, I just want to let everybody know the our Green Acres open space funding, the state has a application deadline of March 1st for supplemental grants. So next agenda, I'll be bringing documentation and information for applying for additional Green Acres funding.
Okay. You're going to get that to Karen by Thursday?
Yeah,
close of business?
Because that's I get it in time. I just want to let, so it doesn't surprise
everyone. No, this is good. This is good. Because even if there's a delay till Friday, at least it gives us, you know, not late Friday, but it gives us a chance to kind of sit there with the agenda and know that that might be coming.
Yeah. Not just for the agenda, but to let you know.
Yeah. No, that's good. I appreciate that. Okay, that's Mike. So that's the, 2:15 agenda, you said, or March 1st?
The deadline is March 1st, so I would like it to be on the February 15th agenda.
Okay.
So we have a certification, and a certification that has to be approved, and mm-hmm. a resolution, enabling resolution that has to be approved.
Okay.
They have a form resolution?
They have a formal resolution, so we'll get that around.
Okay. So with that presentation of the vouchers?
The ones that are over $1,000, Edmunds GovTech, which is our financial accounting, some of our financial accounting software, $3,687.92. For the appraisal of the Green Acres potential acquisition, Block 49, Lot 89, $1,600 to Norman J. Goldberg Incorporated, and to Raritan Headwaters for last year's well testing, $2,680. This is for the four tests that the township had done on four of our buildings. As was mentioned, private well tests aren't publicized. As she said, it's aggregated. So within a square mile, they'll tell you results, but you can't pick out whose house that is. For the township to provide information to residents, we had the township wells at the DPW building, park, library, and museum tested, mm-hmm. so people in that area could no actual results and see if we have any issues going on. Turns out we don't, but this is for last year's well test, $2,680.
I have one here, Finch Fuel Oil Company for Fire Station 1, Fire Station 2 in the squad building for fuel oil, $4,687.10. I have another one here for the Borough of Washington, 2023 first quarter animal control services, $2,500. I have here for the cleaning of the park bathrooms for the season of 2022, $2,680. I have Team Life, which is for the fire department for its automated external defibrillators, package of three. The total for all three came in at $5,816.99. And the final one that I have is for New Jersey Health Benefits. For January 2023, $54,592.32. I do have two more. I have David White, the refund tax overpayment that we talked about earlier, $3,889.25. And I have Lincoln National Life Insurance Company, which is the LOSEP contributions from 2021 for the fire department people who qualified, for $3,500.
I have Bear Reese Engineering. This was left over from 2021 for the work and services rendered for Anthony and Slyker Road readjustment in the amount of $4,770. I have the RK Occupational Environmental. That was the indoor environmental quality investigation and sampling of the missile building, and that's for $4,224.50. Finch Fuel Oil, which is the fuel oil for the municipal building and the library together on this one, and that's $2,627.33. And police, I have the police interceptor, which is out of a state contract, ESC co-op, and that's in the amount of $37,717.93. And that's all the qualifiers.
Nothing to report.
Okay, and I have none that apply either. So the total bill list for the period ending February 1st, 2023 is $211,253.54. Can I get a motion to approve the bill list?
Motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the bill list.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Okay. With that, the next item is correspondence, and the only thing on correspondence is May, July, August, September, November, December's minutes of the Lebanon Township Environmental and Open Space Commission. Any discussion on any of it? Okay. Okay. From there, we go to public comment for anything you want to talk about. Can I get a motion to open the public comment?
Motion to open a public comment.
Second.
Yes.
Roll.
Sorry. Yes.
Getting tired. Yeah. Okay. So you said yes?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Come up to the microphone, give us your address.
Yeah, if you would like to state your name and...
My name is John Paul, this is a resident at 71 Anthony Road in Lebanon Township. Did I receive a certified mail that states NAR is applying for approval to start water and sewage work? I was here when the board changed the ordinance, voted not to allow cannabis manufacturing or cannabis stores in Lebanon Township. It seems NAR is going straight ahead with plans. What is going on with the application? I understood that our town, Lebanon Township, was against this. How can they do this to our ordinance against this business? What's going on? I mean, we all voted. The board voted. They changed the ordinance. What's happening?
They were already in the pipeline when that ordinance was changed. They were already in the pipeline when the ordinance was changed. To not include medicinal, you know, to that we couldn't have a medicinal marijuana, but I don't know if you want to talk at all about it.
Obviously there's litigation, pending litigation. Lawsuit was filed by the group, and that's pending. There's a motion for summary judgment was filed by the plaintiffs. That got pushed back until sometime the end of February. But my understanding is there's a legal premise called the time of decision rule that was codified so that if, in fact, an ordinance, a zoning ordinance is changed, it doesn't affect any applications that have already been filed with the municipality. And that particular ordinance was adopted after that group had filed their initial application.
How did they get the permits in the first place?
I'm not sure what... I don't know what permit you're speaking about, but it sounds as if they may be state permits that they're applying for, especially given that they're required to give you notice. So my sense would be is, I don't know what they're talking about, they're probably proceeding on the premise, you know, whatever the outcome of the litigation is going to determine what or what they cannot do. That's my sense.
People in town spoke. They're all here for that. I'm against it, totally against it. The town voted against it. I don't see what's going on. I can't believe it.
So I just told you. So, you know, it's in litigation. Yeah. It's in front of the judge.
I don't think it's right.
Right. Well, that's their right to file suit.
Yeah, it's not over till it's over.
The town obviously is defending it. So ultimately, it's going to be a judge will determine what they can or they cannot do.
Keith Galloway, Mount Lebanon Road. For most of the people probably here in the audience last summer, I guess it was June or July, I came to this microphone and I was rather irate about the problem we had about many of the ash trees that are dead, and that the fear would be that one of them would fall and hurt somebody. I want you to know that I've seen that the township has probably listened because the road department is out cutting these trees down. And I'm very grateful to them and to this board for making that happen. Some of the trees seem to be live, but they're in danger and they're big. And one of them was cut down across the street from me just 2 days ago, and it was a sizable tree. But I am grateful that you have recognized the problem. So I thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Oh, here comes Laurie.
Laurie Hoffman, Buffalo Hollow Road. Are those cherry trees going to be replaced?
I don't believe so. There's not in the plan right now. We haven't gotten that far.
So all of them in the Memorial Garden are going to come down?
There's three of them.
So are anything left? So is it going to be just an open space there?
Temporarily, it'll be open.
Oh, it'll look terrible. Now, you just paid the well. So will the township wells, where they tested them last time, will they be tested again? Not as extensively, but not just a basic?
It hasn't been proposed.
Isn't that something you want the residents to test, at least for bacteria every year? Shouldn't we be testing where our employees are drinking the water?
We have till May to put it on the agenda.
Do you not understand what I... Yeah. You tested them the first time that you've ever tested them. Yeah, but you want us to do them. Okay. The trees, we should look at replacing those trees.
Any other public comment?
Darrell Schmidt, Musconetcon River Road. I'd like to give Committeeman McGee praise. The last meeting, there was discussion about payment or $1,000 that's made available for a reorganization party celebration. And apparently it was brought up that you had stricken that line item from the budget in the past, and that it was never reinstated. I think that was financially responsible. I disagree with Mr. Galloway. I don't feel the tax money should be used for reorg parties in good fiscal times or bad. There are many other things that are a lot more important that money could be used for. Roads, equipment, something I proposed, digitizing of the lock and blot records and make them available on the website to save the staff here in the building a lot of time and work. I was surprised how fast newly elected Committeeman Wonder and newly appointed Committeeman Abrakowski made a motion and seconded it to pay Mayor Kohler $1,000 for the party. I thought it was Democrats that liked the tax and spend, not fiscally conservative Republicans. I hope this isn't an indication of future spending, but guys, I believe tougher times are ahead. Committeeman Schmidt, I have a question for you. How many reorganization parties did you have as mayor?
Five.
Any township money accepted?
No.
So even though it's not in the budget, thank you, Mr. McKee, you're owed $5,000. I'm curious to see if a motion is made and seconded to pay you.
Well, to clarify, last time there was some statement that the money was being pushed to the current mayor. To get reimbursement, you have to sign the form to request it. I never signed the form to request it, so it can't be pushed to me.
Okay. Well, you could still owe.
It wasn't in the budget. Those budgets are
right.
Closed.
Well, neither was this
not
one.
Available now,
so. Neither was the last one. I hear you don't take your stipend as committeeman or mayor and give it back to the township. Is that true?
That's true.
Okay. So you probably wouldn't accept the $5,000 if it was offered to you, would you?
No.
But I think twice about that. Accepting the owed back party money, if a motion is made and seconded and passed, you could donate the money, say, to the park, for the stage for Pat Shriver's memorial stage, or maintaining the open space and trails, or maybe a nonprofit that's dear to your heart. I disagree with the party money, and I think it should stop for good. I was at the reorg meeting, and I remember Mayor Kohler saying the meeting was going to be fast because there was a party at 7:30. I don't remember the location or a general invitation to the audience being mentioned. If there was, I missed it. It'll be on the recording, and I'll stand corrected if I'm mistaken. If you want to have a party because you're appointed mayor for 1 year, fine. Use your stipend to pay for it. That's your money. You can invite whoever you want. That's your party. This is a different topic, but it's...
Oh, before you go on to the next topic, mm-hmm. I paid for the entire party.
Okay, good.
When I heard that there was a problem because I was going to pay for the entire party and I was told not to, I told them, even though it was approved, get rid of the check, give me my receipts back, I paid for the whole thing. So I, in addition to the $4,500 of my own money, mm-hmm. I picked up the
$1,000. Good for you, Ben.
Mm-hmm. As you should. And I don't think it should be any topic. On a different money topic, I hear through the grapevine that the federal grant money that the last VA applied for was granted the Lebanon Township for road repairs. $750,000 worth. Question for the mayor. When will that money be available to start road repair, and who decides what roads, the $750,000? Although it sounds like a lot, it doesn't go that far in the world of road work.
Yeah, I could pass it off to Brian, but I'll tell you that $750,000 was based on Warren Gabriel putting together a list of roads that needed to be paved. That was last April when we had that special meeting. Right now, we just got some information regarding that grant, and it looks like Warren needs to look into it because there could be some stipulations. He wants to make sure that we even want to accept this money at this point. Just in the interest of transparency, we probably will, but there could be it's coming out of HUD.
Yeah,
and that's, we don't want to have a situation where we accept money and then we have to do things for it. So that, I think it's being prudent that he's looking at it, but that's, they're going to send us, HUD is going to send us a package within 30 days, and we'll know what he has to deal with at that point. So at that point, we'll bring the committee up to speed.
Okay, and the public too?
Of course.
Okay. Well, if the money is separated use, I hope that Warren has put Newport Road on it from Dewey Lane to the two bridges before Redmond. Thank you for listening to my public comments.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, any other public comment? Seeing none, can I get a motion to close public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Can I get a motion to reopen public comment? Because we went through the whole gamut, so can I get a
motion to reopen?
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Kind of hesitant to speak today, just because of.
You just need your name and address.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you don't have. Oh, if you want to, you're not. We can't force you.
Yeah,
to,
Woodland yeah. Road, Glenn Bikowski.
Mm-hmm.
About the NAR group. I guess the first gentleman up here was bringing some points up about the NAR group. One, I guess I have just to bring up about permitting. They're doing work without permits. I don't think I could do work without permits.
I don't know if they are or they aren't. I don't know what letter he received. My sense is it, being that he received notice, it's probably from the DEP.
I think
requires.
It's the wetlands. I think it's the
wetlands. Wetlands. Right.
What does that mean?
So what happens is that applicants have to, if someone's looking to develop property, they have to go out and figure out where certain wetlands that are classified by the state where they exist, and they actually do a delineation, and it becomes a wetlands delineation. And based upon the type of wetlands that are classified, and the DEP does that, that creates certain buffers that developers have to meet in order to build.
Attorney, isn't it fair to say, I mean, the NAR Group legally owns the property, they're allowed to conduct legal business on the property.
So this is what I don't. This is what I don't want to do.
They just can't do anything toward.
Right. So, but this is what we don't want to do.
Their cannabis.
Right.
Business.
Because there's litigation pending, and the township has been named as a party, and the elected officials obviously represent the township. I don't want to create any type of record that could be used against the township, one way or the other. So while I understand residents may have questions, I think it's prudent. We can ask them to the extent that responses can be given. We can try to give them. But I don't want to create a record that can be used against, for or against the township or for or against the plaintiff. So it wouldn't be prudent to engage in that type of discussion. So certainly can listen to your comments. To the extent that they've answered, we can answer them. But again, because the litigation's pending, the final decision hasn't been made. You know, depending on what is said, it wouldn't preclude the NAR Group from getting a copy of these minutes and saying, "Hey, see, this is what the township thinks. This is what they do, and use it against the township." Mm-hmm. Right. So you have to be careful in that. And I understand. I have some background on the information. I have some background on that whole issue. Believe me, because I represent municipalities. But again, because there are a lot of claims that just doesn't include the approval, right? The claims go beyond seeking approval. There are federal claims associated with it that could result in significant damages assessed. And while the township is, you know, has some insurance, and they're being defended by the insurance company, some of those claims, depending on how they're proven or not proven, I'm saying they are going to be proven. There's fee shifting involved. There's potential punitive damage. So I don't want to give the township, to give NAR any type of information one way or the other, to the extent that, you know, we can't because of the fact it's in litigation.
Okay. Can I ask the question that if they were doing work that they weren't supposed to be doing without permits, that they're going to get, you know, that they're going to have to owe that back?
As far as, so it's hard to speak in what ifs or not knowing. So to the extent that work isn't authorized by anybody, whether it's not anybody else, right. And to the extent that they need permits and they're doing work without permits, there would be ramifications, whether it's NAR or anybody else.
And then probably the last question I have, it was back at the school couple months ago. I know Sharon brought up a map that gave to the board on, and actually, who's the gentleman that was up here prior to me? Schmidt. He left?
John Paul?
No, Schmidt.
Daryl.
Daryl, yeah. There was a, and correct me if I misspeak here, but everybody across the board with this, and I'm not the expert in this, but from a, I don't use the term hydro, but from a water perspective, there was not going to be enough water to actually suffice the amount of water needed for that facility, and it was going to deplete the wells in the surrounding areas. Daryl, am I speaking correct to that?
I don't believe you are, no.
Okay. What was it then?
Well, the aquifer test.
So, just again, I don't want to.
Yeah, no.
But obviously, it's committee comment, so.
Okay.
So just direct your comments to the committee.
So I remember Sharon speaking up, and she gave a map to several people up there, and maybe other people in here remember it, maybe they don't, maybe I dreamt it, but it's very well possible. But I clearly remember that it was a very seems like it was a pretty detailed map, and the consensus was that there was definitely not enough water in the wells in that vicinity to actually sustain that property. And I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for understanding.
What's that?
I said thank you for understanding.
Oh, what? You mean the process?
Yes.
Yeah, I just felt like I didn't want to get up and speak. But it was just kind of like...
Believe me, if it could be addressed, it would be addressed.
Meaning what?
If I could speak directly, right? If the committee could speak directly. But it would not be prudent. I would not be doing my job as an attorney to protect the township and as a result, protect the resident.
Oh, no, I get it.
Right.
Actually, Mark, kind of appreciate your... you seem very personable, so...
Thank you. My wife doesn't always agree, but...
Public angel, house devil.
All right. Bob Mickle on Wood Glen Road. I have a question. Who determines who gets notices of things being done on neighboring property? I mean, I'm 1,500 feet, and that's the first I heard about this. I don't know whether it's the engineering department. Do you know? And what parameters they use?
I think it depends on what they're doing. And
well,
what
right. So,
the
again,
statute says.
So for any type of work, it's going to depend on what work they're doing, and then whether it's a state permit, a federal permit, whether something municipality requires, and then that work, depending on what it is, will dictate typically, who receives a notice on what distance and where.
I would like, again, from my perspective, I would like to make a recommendation that this township adopt an ordinance sometime. It may not affect this current situation, but when we have something this serious occurs in our township, that people are notified. Because this wouldn't have happened if the public that's here tonight and have come out to the meetings knew what was going on 3 years ago, it would never been gotten this far.
Right. So again, and again, it depends on what the activity's done. So you have to see what state law requires, see what federal law requires, and then you have to sort of marry the two and see where your jurisdiction lies for sure. But there are a myriad of items in connection with development that a developer may have to apply for in different departments. Even the municipal land use law, which governs municipalities, obviously you heard of the 200-foot list, right? So it's 200 feet from the property line in all directions. That's what that mandates, and that's for as far as notice is concerned. Certain other applications, if it's a state, they set who it would be. And the town may not know immediately. A lot of times developers will be doing their due diligence and doing that work without the township even knowing, because they may not have filed an application. It's not unusual for any developer to go out when they do the wetlands. They're going to go to, it's called an LOI, a letter of interpretation. They may do that work before they file anything in the township, because they may want to see, hey, can I develop this, right? Because if it's all wet, I'm not going to waste my time filing a development application. And many times a developer will do that first, right? They'll go out, see, hey, let me look at this property. Is it developable? You make that's an application that goes to the state, and the clerk will get notice of it for those types of things. But that doesn't mean a property is going to be developed, right? I think that's just any developer seeing if it can be, and then once they determine that, then they'll make their decision. So, it's hard to monitor, but it also doesn't mean that something's going to happen. In this instance, obviously, it's further down the road, so you know it. But just because someone applies for a wetlands delineation or an LOI doesn't mean a property's going to be developed either.
All right. Thank you.
I'm Marlene Larson. I live at 76 Anthony Road, so I'm one of the people within 200 feet, And today I got a certified letter about the NAR group applying for a waiver for freshwater wetlands. And I guess everybody here was on the committee was copied on it also. And I have, the DEP is telling me that I have 15 days to submit a written comment on something that I don't even have a clue what the heck they're talking about.
Right. So again, that applicant, it looks like that's what they're doing, right? They're trying to do the wetlands delineation, and they're making that application. So they're required to give the notice to have to give notice to. And, you know, that's part of the process. They may have, they probably applied for that some time ago, and the DEP is doing their review, and they're getting to that point where the notification has to go out.
Well, that doesn't help me try to understand what in the heck they're trying to do and how to respond to the DEP within 15 days.
Right. Well,
so I'm one of the unfortunate 200 feet right. people. That
you can certainly contact the DEP, right? And to the extent that, again, if they're looking for the waiver, it's because there may be a certain classification of wetlands, buffering, that's what they may be doing with respect to with the notification and get information from the DEP. But I'm not in a position to give legal advice. The township's not in a position to give you legal advice on that particular
issue. No, I understand that, but we have comments here that people don't know what's going on, and I'm just here to tell you this is what happened today to me, where I have an opportunity to make comments to a state organization that has an effect on my life and my property value, and I don't have a clue what the heck they're talking about. Or while I'm willing to pay for expertise, I don't even know where to go to get it to defend my position against what's going on there.
Would that be a land use attorney?
I'm sorry? Somebody made a comment?
We've got it.
So again, right, I mean, I'm hesitant to provide that.
But you're saying I should go to the DEP and ask them what's going on.
I think you should, at least since you received the notice, there's probably a contact information there.
Okay, so everybody here should know that there is activity going on that only people within 200 feet have been allowed to have that information without doing something to share it with the rest of the world on our own. And so I agree with this other gentleman that something else needs to be done on these notifications, or we never would have been as far along in this god-awful process.
Just so you know, the township receives a notice at the same time you receive the notice.
I'm sorry?
The township receives the notice at the same time you receive the notice.
No, well, agreed,
right.
But that's the...
That's right. So, again, that's all governed by state legislature, right? That's what the state mandates. That's what the state requires.
Well, then maybe that's where we need to go to make some kind of a change.
Right, and to the extent that that's what the state law is, municipalities cannot usurp that, right?
Okay.
Because that's not...
All right, well, my main point here and now is I'm going to have to spend my time to pursue this and try to educate myself on it, and try to do something about it on my own within 15 days. And I just think the rest of the world needs to know that there is activity going on here.
Is there a neighbor you can consult on it to try to...
Yeah, John, who was just here. He's
okay.
Just as adamant about it as I am.
From building this area,
anything
to do with...
I'm sorry. We're going to keep one at a time, you know, talking to the committee. It's not
okay.
Going to be a discussion out in the audience.
Okay.
You guys will talk after the meeting.
Yeah.
We'll chat later.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's my... I just want people to know that this very day I received a certified letter on activity that NAR Group is doing to get some kind of a wetlands waiver. And the word waiver, to me, is a red flag. So spread the word. Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm.
Shannon Lang, River Road. I built a house in this area, and it was hell. Hell with the permits.
So again, if you could, just direct your comments to the committee,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so it was hell. It's lovely here, but it was difficult. And one of the reasons why was because of the wetlands and anything to do with the flooding, water, anything with that. But what really caused the issue was the eastern box turtles and scat studies on my property and all kinds of things like that. So I would advise anyone that has to respond to anything to put anything about the wildlife and, you know, the concerns with the water possibly on your property. Those types of things are, they get the environmentalists going, I would say. And, it wasn't pleasant to deal with. It makes it tough. So if you don't want to respond favorably, care about the wildlife in your response is what I say. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sam Denning, 105 Boyce Road. Hello.
Hi.
Couple of quick things. Brian, I just don't know the backstory, but the trees, have they been looked at by an arborist or anyone else that could possibly, is there anything that could possibly save them or?
No, they're really rough shape if you take a look at them.
Okay.
And some are just in the way of making improvements also. Okay. It's only going to be about half a dozen right now of the worst of the bunch or the ones that we feel are kind of in a bad spot right now, and the rest are going to get looked at later.
I'd also say I'd like to, you know, at some point if that could be brought up that you could look at replacing them because they are beautiful and this is the, you know, people come and this is what they see. And especially the memory garden, because there's a lot going on in the garden, the remembrance, you know that. All the volunteers are actually memorialized on walls here, and that's what the garden started to be, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I love the cherry trees, but they've gotten out of hand.
So, and just, you know, for that. As far as everything going on, I've had extensive, I have a property close to water, and I have extensive knowledge of what goes on with CAFRA and wetlands delineation. It's my question then to the board, and I understand your position, totally understand it, and I agree 1,000%, but is there a way that we, without jeopardizing ourselves, can post when we get a notice like that on our website that we've received that notice? So these people got it 200 feet. Apparently the town's gotten it also. Without jeopardizing us with this particular lawsuit, can we post it without comment?
So, well, ultimately, it's attention committee policy. The danger becomes, where do you cut it off, right? You start, you know, then you have to start making determinations as to what gets posted, who posts it. It becomes, that can create other issues down the line. Then there's potential liability because this group says no, this group yes. And then when you start doing those types of things, you're opening yourself up for a lawsuit.
Understood. I just was wondering if you could do it without comment, because that's true. If we didn't hear from neighbors, we wouldn't even know that, because we're not within that
200 feet
area. And the last question, and I'm sorry to just add more junk to more junk, but now that the everything has been done with the administrator and we have the investigation and everything is concluded, when will that be made public, what the details of that whole situation were?
So I'm going to, again, caution.
Okay,
moving. Right. That's a potential litigation matter.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. So, okay,
thank you, Tammy.
Cherry trees, I'll leave it on the cherry trees.
Yeah. Keith Galloway again, Mount Lebanon Road. Years ago, we had a piece of property defined as a building lot, and it was approved by the township. But, and I don't want to sell it. But at some point, if I'm not around anymore, my kids may want to sell it or so. But if they were to do it, or if we were to do it, are we going to have a lot of restrictions, even though it's been a defined and approved lot? Are we necessarily going to have problems with the state or the township? Where does that stand? I mean, we pay taxes as if it's a building lot, and Would the township say you can't build there?
I'm missing it.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is all of these things with water problems, and we have to do all of these tests and all.
What do you mean, if you're a property owner in town?
I am a property owner, and we had a piece of a tract of land next to our lot, which we live on, that is the same size and everything else, and it was approved by the county, by the township here. And we pay taxes if there is a building lot. So when we go to sell it, is the township going to come along and say, you can't build there? I mean, is that something that they could do?
I mean, I don't know about grandfathering certain pieces of property versus others. I don't know. We'd have to look into it.
I don't know if he's talking hypothetically or...
I am talking hypothetically, okay. But I'm saying...
So, and I think... Well, there's a whole process, right? So to the extent that somebody sells a piece of property in any municipality, the town certainly doesn't have the from the outset and say, hey, you can't build there, right? So it's like anything. So if you purchase the property and someone's interested in it, so what do you first do? Well, let's go first check the zoning, right? Let's see what it's owned. Then if I'm a purchaser, let's say I'm the purchaser, so I check the zoning. See what it's zoned for. See if it's from that perspective it's buildable. Then the next step is if I'm interested, I contact the property owner. Say, hey, here's a letter of interest. These are the conditions under which I'd like to buy your property. And then they do their due diligence. Then they go back and they check all those things. Right? They do phase one, maybe they do phase two. See if the environmental condition is. See if it's wet or not. A lot of those things are. So there's a combination of different entities in New Jersey because how unregulated we are in this state that you have to go through the checklist. But it's not so much the fiat from a township saying you can't develop it. I think you have to look at the ordinances. You have to look at what the state requires, and ultimately an end purchaser will make that determination based on.
I think we have a disconnect
here. Okay, that's one.
We had an attorney come here. When we wanted to define that piece of property as a separate piece of property from our home, and it as a lot. Originally, when my mother-in-law was alive, we thought that she would put a home on that. She was selling her larger home, and she would put a smaller home on it, and she would live next door. But if she got older, she said she didn't want to do that. But we had that lot defined, and it is a separate piece of property from ours. The one that my wife and I live in is in our name. But the attorney said, put that piece of property, that 3-acre lot, in her name only, so that they could not merge the two pieces of property. Now, we've had people interested in buying it. We have no desire to sell it. But what I am saying is, if we decide to move, if one of us becomes ill and we want to move away, and we want to sell our house, and we want to sell the lot separate, of course, am I going to have, if someone wants to buy that property, is the town going to give that person a hard time, even though it's now a defined lot, and we pay taxes if there was a house on it?
Well, I think normally you would... The buyer would request inspection of the property, usually a soil test, regards to the septic, and all that kind of stuff.
But I
think it's going to be based on whatever the rules and regulations are.
That part I understand, but every time you start hearing about the DEP and the environmental controls and water problems, it was approved, and we're paying taxes on it as if there's a house there.
Okay.
And I just want to make sure that I'm not going to run into problems down the road.
The only way to make sure, in my opinion, not speaking as a committee, consider, having an engineer review it.
And if they said no, is the township going to give me back my tax money?
Do your due diligence, and is it in wetlands, Do you have any idea what... I'm not familiar with the property.
We had it perked, and everything else it seemed to be fine at the time. And, I would hate to have the township, for some reason, say, no, you can't use that as a building lot. you're not going to give me my tax money back.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I should have to pay the library taxes for the next 6 months.
We're unable to completely answer for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a hypothetical, but it's a question that I never even thought about until tonight.
Any other public comment?
Well,
this will be an easy one. Paul Gamm, Lance Drive. This is as innocuous, hopefully, as it possibly can be. So going after Mr. Gallo's comments on the ash trees, just an observation from my little corner of Lebanon Township. Since I've lived here for 3 years, going up and down Hickory Run after any significant water event or rain event, on at least a half a dozen occasions, I've had to get out of my truck because there's a sizable rock in the road from runoff and wash away from those rain events. And on at least another half a dozen situations, I'm either turning left or not able to turn left, or turning right or not able to turn right because of down trees. There's, you know, obviously multiple locations of severe slope kind of coming down the hill to that run. And if I could add it to the list of definitely roads to be paved if we do accept the money, I would throw my hat in the ring for that. But just generally speaking, I'm not sure, you know, whose responsibility those trees that are either danger close to power lines, if those are responsibility of the landowners, or if there's a certain setback where that's a township issue, and kind of add that to the assessment of, again, danger situations where either you're going to hit a rock and break a wheel or run off the road or any other situation. It'd just be great to have that be addressed.
Okay.
Christine DiLorenzo, Teetertown Road. I have a question. The last time I looked at the deed to 62 Anthony Road, the NAR Group does not own it. Has that changed?
I have no idea.
Since they don't own it, do you know if they're in a lease agreement with the owner?
I do not know.
And if they're not in a lease agreement, can they be doing anything on that property?
So, in general, not talking about NAR directly, you don't have to be an owner of a property to develop it.
Okay.
When you file an application for development, the property owner is required to give their permission. So that's one of the submissions that is included in an application for site plan.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Robin Davidson, Meadowview Lane. Circling back to ash trees. Is there any guidance from the State Forestry Service for what landowners should do? Because I feel, I know my property is 6 acres of mostly ash trees, and I feel like we are one drought and one brush fire from being a giant bonfire in this town. So just curious, is there any guidance for landowners besides, you know, cut down and level your lot?
Regarding ash trees?
Yes.
Can I answer that?
Yeah, please.
No, no.
I didn't know. Actually, you were environmentalist.
No, well, no. Just because this became a big issue in another town I used to represent. Ash trees, they were prevalent there as well. Actually, I think, yeah, there is. I think if you go both at the state level and then I think even federally, there is information relative to what you can do for ash trees. I'll tell you this. And I, just from sitting on this attached committee, on this other committee, most of the recommendation is that the boar ash, it's going to die, right? And right, even if you know, there's a treatment that you can do, is if you do it early enough, it seems to have helped some trees, but eventually the recommendation is, right, to take the trees down. But there is information. If you, I think you go to, on, was it DP? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to check, if you could, because another town, I'll send it to Karen, and then Karen can...
Right, because, I mean, I have 6 acres. My neighbors have 10 acres. Next ones have 15 acres.
Well, that's part of the problem with the ash tree. It just keeps on going down.
And we're next to a town park, which is mostly ash. And I just feel like there's so
I'm surprised, not for now, maybe the county did, but I'm surprised the county didn't get involved in that. Because I know in Marsh County, it was such a problem up there that the county actually got involved and took a lead because of the issue. Just an aside. Baseball bats are typically from ashwood. Well, they stopped making baseball bats out of ashwood because of the problem started actually down south. It worked its way up. So they had to change the type of wood that they used because so many ash trees have been depleted. So, but the county didn't come out with any type of help.
I mean, how is someone supposed to cut down 6 acres worth of
ash trees?
Yeah, I'm just, and there aren't any grants for this.
Individuals, probably. That discussion came up. I'm not aware of it, but as far as guidance, I know Marsh County was involved in that because there's a lot of ash trees in Marsh County, and I know this. There were some things that the DEP did put out. So, because it was. What has been and will continue to be a problem.
Is there any kind of delineation as to who's responsible for what? Because I know some of the homeowners, if it's on their property, they're responsible. But I know some are saying, but there's a tree that's going to come down and fall on me. That's
I would say it
property.
Depends on what your ordinances say. There's certain statutes, state statutes, that enable municipalities to govern the location of dead or dying trees within the intersection or a certain area from a property line. It's usually 25 feet. Mm-hmm. And then the zoning officer can enforce that. I'm not sure if you guys haven't looked at it, if the town has a tree removal ordinance requirement. I mean, that's a big issue in a lot of towns that have a lot of trees. And then jurisdictionally, again, it's going to depend on whose right-of-way it is. And then how far back, usually, with the right-of-way, if it's a county road, state road. But there is some control. I mean, there are certain things that municipalities can do. I'll take a look at what your ordinance, see what it says.
Yeah.
If there is a tree removal ordinance, my guess is probably not. Only because, given the flavor here, I mean, people don't like regulation, but then these things spring up. And then, that's what happens. I mean, it becomes nature of the beast, right? Now, whoever expected the ash trees in the country to start being felled by a little... ash borers, but right. It's happening.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of money already the last couple of years. And there's still more to go.
I know.
Still more to go.
Can you log those? Can you log the ash trees?
Some you can, but they don't last forever sitting in a pile.
And you can't transport them anywhere.
Right. Yeah. There's so much wood around right now. People don't even want the wood.
Sounds like we need a community wood pile.
Yeah.
Bonfire.
Bonfire.
Yeah, we have one next week or this week, Saturday. Yeah.
They're different. Whether it's an intersection or a property line, the statute dictates intersection because you don't want to get block an intersection and then property line because of the danger of trees falling over.
And we have Victor up here now. We have to
that's all right.
Keep Victor is up there just so we know.
I don't know if my recollection is correct or not, but is there a tree ordinance on how many trees you can take down? I remember one guy getting fined fairly heavy for taking down too many trees. You all remember that?
I thought there used to be something in regards to the diameter of the tree, maybe. Is that right?
I remember correctly, you can only take so many trees down.
Yeah,
you had to get a permit to take them down.
Unless they're dead or dying or a hazard, which these ash trees are. So
well,
you're not going
to
need it.
Here again, we're telling people to cut down trees. Let's make sure they're not going to be breaking any ordinance. I could care less
right.
about the ordinance myself.
Right.
We didn't tell anybody to cut down a tree.
Yeah.
Jesus, God, this country's come to a handbasket. So, Is that something we should be leery of? Yes, no, maybe so.
Would you say I couldn't hear what, because I heard some talking going on?
Oh, they're just mocking me. Don't worry about it.
And here's the question.
Is the statute concerned about the amount of trees that the private resident might have to take down?
Yeah, no, I probably.
Well, I can look it up in the ordinance and get back to you and let you know. I mean, it's, but again, it's, you might have some overlays with other ordinances, like you're saying.
Because the advice you're getting.
There's no advice. Nobody was giving any advice. No.
You, sir.
No. There's no advice given.
We're not going to start anything.
No advice. I'll send you a bill. That's right. No advice.
Story.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
End of story. No advice
given. No advice given.
Excellent. Chop them down. I burn firewood.
It's cut to chew on.
What aroma. Contact. Who do we contact if we have a question about a tree that we think is, you know, vulnerable?
I'm wondering, do we, I mean, like, with the ordinance,
a tree person.
Well, it's a,
no advice. Call a tree company.
Yeah, call a tree company. What, it has nothing to do with us.
Yeah, well, if it's on their property, but if it's another one that it's, that's in the, like, on Hickory Run Road or something.
Okay,
is
I
that
have one. I didn't want to go up there just for this, but yeah. I have a tree that's,
you wanna,
on my
I'm property. Sorry, you're talking, so you want to.
All right, let Bob go here.
Okay. Again, Bob Mickle. I have a question for the legal counsel, if I could.
Hypothetical. Direct it to the mayor.
I heard tonight, and part of it is the township.
Mayor. You're directing your
okay.
Yeah.
Council committee.
The township noted that they're getting federal funds for blacktopping. And hypothetically, and for the legal counsel, if someone... We allow someone to grow marijuana in this township, and it's illegal at the federal level. Does that violate those federal funds to do the roads? Because, and I'll tell you why I'm asking. I work for the university, and when all this garbage was going on, we are partially funded by the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
We could not do research. Now, we could do research after they approved hemp and cannabis oil because that was approved by the USDA. Marijuana is still an illegal substance at the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're taking funds to do blacktopping from the federal government, and they're fairly substantial, the federal government could say, well, we're not going to give you those funds.
Yeah, well, that's worth looking into when that paperwork comes. I'm trying to think it through and processing it as you're talking, because we can't do farm assessments for that reason. And, you know, anybody, if somebody wanted to grow marijuana, you can't have a farm assessment. So there is some tie-in with the federal
right.
funds.
Right. Well, I understand that, and that's another issue
mm-hmm.
by itself. But I'm really concerned about that, and I brought it up last fall. Based on my knowledge and my experience, that we could not do anything with marijuana, recreational and medicinal, as researchers, because it would have been violated the federal funds that we got at the university. So I would, you know, either if you or your legal counsel could tell us, because I think it's a very serious matter. And we're not the only township that has this issue, by the way.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
To the judge.
Any more public comment? Seeing none, can I get a motion to close public comment?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, with that, we're going to be going into executive session. We don't anticipate any action will be taken. It's Resolution 34-2023, personnel. Can I get a motion for executive session, Resolution 34-2023, personnel?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Can I get a motion to adjourn? Oh, well, that's after executive.
After.
Okay, this is out. We're gonna come back in and reconvene. Yeah. Okay.